Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Moncrief on News Talk.
I gotta say, this house is gorgeous. I can't help but notice, though, the stuff that you have doesn't quite fill up the space. You know? That and the temporary parking pass I saw makes me think you guys just moved in recently.
A couple months ago.
Oh, congratulations. I'm doing the math here, and something's just not quite adding up. Between Carmen's retail job and Arturo being out of work, how do you guys afford a place like this?
That's High Potential. New episodes every Thursday on Disney+. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
The slightly weird person or gifted person who helps the police, that's kind of not unfamiliar.
No, I mean, there are a million of these kind of like police procedurals that involve some, shall we say, eccentric oddball coming in, swooping in, upsetting the apple cart, rubbing shoulders or rubbing seasoned detectives up the wrong way, and then suddenly falling either in love with them or into a very respected partnership. And this is exactly what we're going to get here. However, that's not to say that it isn't a lot of fun. Now, I will say the title makes it sound like it's going to be something about like marijuana, to be honest with you, but yeah. It's called High Potential because it's named after a French-Belgian series called Au Potentiel Intellectuel, right? Or Intellectuel, whatever. So High Potential Intellect. And this is to do with people with extremely high intellects. And into that, guys, comes Caitlin Olsen as Morgan Guillory. So we see her at the very beginning of the show as a cleaning lady in the police department who accidentally bumps into a file and spots the absolute clue-solving thing in a murder trial that's going absolutely nowhere. And when the police realize this, they hire her, as you would, as a consultant. You would assume that they maybe don't need consultancy, that they would be able to do their own jobs, but that is the entire premise of the show. And if you've seen Caitlin Olsen in anything, she is what you would expect here, right? So she kind of cut her teeth, or is most famous for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, in which she's is extremely funny. But she had her own kind of launch show vehicle called The Mick a couple of years ago. Not a racist term for Irish people, but rather a reference to the character's name, where she was this kind of oddball nanny. And it was a very, very funny sitcom that kind of went nowhere. And then she's probably even better known then in the last couple of seasons of Hacks as Deborah's daughter, DJ. But this is a vehicle for her, a starring vehicle for herself, and it really exploits her talents extremely well. Now, sometimes the dialogue is a little bit clunky because it's all about trying to solve each week increasingly silly and bizarre and surprisingly camp mysteries. And by that, I mean, episode two is about a bunch of kind of gangsters who are also moonlighting as tap dancers on the top story of a building, and one of them gets thrown off and trying to figure out who did it. But it is a classic whodunit with red herrings and clues and all that kind of stuff. Now, it's not maybe as polished or neatly put together as Poker Face, the Ryan Johnson show, which aired on Sky early last year and is really well done, how done it rather than who done it. But this is a very, very entertaining version of the show that it is. Obviously, you have Olsen doing really, really, really good comedic work as this put-upon single mother, but she gets to practice her dramatic chops as well, because there's a series-long arc about trying to discover what happened to the father of her eldest child who disappeared without a trace some years ago and what happened to him. But like, she's surrounded by a bunch of, you know, deliberately straight-laced poker-wielding cops, and then she's the kind of hurricane that comes in and blows it up all around the place. But as that kind of thing, she does a very, very good job.
Yeah, and this has already been screened in the US, as I understand it.
It's a huge success for ABC in the US, so that's why we're getting it on Disney Plus, because ABC is basically Disney's broadcast channel in the US. And within, you know, its first episode saw its ratings grow by 200% over, you know, over the course of whatever week it was running, and it has grown week by week by week by week, to the fact that it's already been greenlit for season two. So we'll be getting definitely more of this. And like, it's always nice to see, a non-streaming show break it in the US and show that there's still life in broadcast TV. But like, obviously, we're getting it in streaming. So we give it one hand and take away with the other.
But it sounds like one of those things that maybe you could switch on episode three, and each episode is, you know, a mystery of the week and it's solved. And then it doesn't really matter if you don't watch the whole series.
Well, yes and no, except as there is this overlong arc about what happened to her first husband. But unless you're absolutely riveted by the kind of 5 minutes they spend on that in each episode, otherwise it is a problem of the week that they solve. And like a show like this, it all depends on how entertaining the problems of the week kind of are. And for that, I would say I was very happy to see it's written by a guy named Drew Goddard, who cut his teeth on all these really excellent TV shows, including like Buffy, Lost, The Good Place, all the first seasons of these when they were at their absolute peak as well. So don't be put off if you hear, you know, Lost either. Like, he's a really excellent TV writer, and this is a very, very entertaining 40 minutes a week.
Okay, yeah. But it's kind of comedic then, rather than it's all very sinister and
terrible. Completely and utterly. Like, as we heard in the clip there, it is all very tongue-in-cheek. There are even non-sequitur, you know, visual jokes and puns thrown in. There's music cues here and there. It's definitely, definitely meant to be, you know, fun rather than absolutely serious.
Okay, our next show is Video Nasty. You can stream all episodes now on the Virgin Media Player. Here's a clip.
Please, we just want to go home.
We all want to go home to our Lord and Saviour. Think of this as your calling. It is a noble thing to lay down one's life. You're here to give yourselves for our souls.
For our souls!
Right, so this is set in the 1980s, is it, James?
It's set in 1985 at the heyday of the Video Nasty craze, when there was this list of banned movies. I think there's 71 of them on the list that were banned in the UK, and I assume already previously banned in Ireland by that stage anyway. And it's set, it involves two teen friends, Billy and Con. They're played by Justin Daniels, Nene, and Cal O'Driscoll, who are growing up in suburbia in Dublin in 1985, along with Con's older sister Zoe, who is a troubled teen, shall we say, and they're on the hunt for one last videotape to finish their collection, and they hear that it might be somewhere in the middle of nowhere in the middle of Middle England, and make their way across the Irish Sea on an adventure to try and find it. Now, this is really, really entertaining and well made. It runs out of steam a little bit by the end, but I want to say, like, as a proof of concept for season one, it was really strong. Credit where it is definitely due to Hugh Travers, who wrote it. He's probably best known in Ireland for writing The Southwesterlies, which was a drama on RTE about 2 years ago that I watched one episode of and then never another one. But this, I very happily made my way to the end. So it follows the trio as they make their way to England, really Northern Ireland, where it was filmed, and they go looking for this final video. But unbeknownst to them, while doing so, enter into their own sort of video nasty adventure, running afoul of a psychotic family who are out to get them, murderous intent, and so on and so forth. Now, where I liked it was the core trio. It works extremely well as this sort of adventure, you know, story between the three. They have excellent chemistry. I saw that Enaene and O'Driscoll are actually friends in real life, and when they were both called for interview, their respective agents told them, keep that tightly lipped because they'll be very impressed with your chemistry. So they did, and they got the roles and then went off and filmed the show together. But Leia Murphy as Zoe is also absolutely fantastic, really watchable screen presence. Very, like, a very, very, very promising debut for these three actors who I've never seen on anything before, but would happily watch in anything else. Also, absolute credit to Simone Kirby, who's a very seasoned Irish actress at this stage. She plays Ethel, who's the matriarch of this psychotic family, with a very believable Welsh accent, if I heard it right. But all in, a well-made show that kind of runs a little bit out of steam, but has great promise for anything else that anyone involved in this could get involved in.
Okay, so I take it from what you're saying, though, is that this mystery isn't necessarily solved by the end of the season.
Oh, the mystery is solved by the end of the season, but there's a teaser for, you know, more mystery to come, shall we say. And they definitely lay the pipe for some dramatic things that might happen in a season two. This is a co-production between Virgin Media Ireland and BBC Northern Ireland. It's actually the second kind of major drama we've got in recent months. There was a TG Cahir one with BBC Northern Ireland as well called Craw, which is I reviewed and is well worth seeking out on the TG Cahir player. And it's very interesting to see, you know, an Irish drama that's such a genre-bending kind of thing, because normally that's not what we get. Normally we get either terrible urban sophisticates or absolute misery in the countryside. and this is to compare it to Stranger Things, is really doing it is a disservice. But it is a kind of, I mean, it is a 1980s horror romp. And it is very clear that the people involved in this, being the director, Christopher Smith, and the writer, Hugh Travers. Christopher Smith has worked on various kind of horror movies. I saw in his credits, it included Severance, but it's not the Apple TV Severance. It's a Severance involving a lot of severing. So he has kind of cut his teeth in making these kind of schlock horror movies in the early 2000s. And he applies that vision here, because this was made on a shoestring budget, but it looks very, very good. And although I don't remember 1980s Ireland particularly well, I will say that, like, visually, they seem to have captured something of that era in a way that is exciting and interesting, even if at times I think a bit anachronistic with the dialogue.
Okay, fair enough. That's Video Nasty. Our final show is Prime Target. New episodes every Wednesday on Apple TV+. Here's a clip.
So, what do you think? Will they go for it?
I'm sorry, Ed, I can't put this in front of the board.
Why not? Look, I know it's not orthodox, which is why I kept it to myself, but...
Not orthodox, it's a unicorn! I'm sorry, listen to what you're saying, eh? God, cipher, DNA of... And this is for the tinfoil hat mob. Someone with your talent, it's not worthy of you.
Not worthy?
Oh, no, I know. I know you think I'm unfit to judge you, but I get that.
Right. The three shows today, James, all kind of are dipping from or taking their water from similar wells, I suppose.
True.
But this is a kind of a Matt's thriller, which the world has been crying out for a long time, I imagine.
Yeah, if you're still having those, like, traumatic dreams of higher level maths at the Leaving Cert, it's back with a bang. So this stars Leo Woodall, who is, like, best known for that breakthrough role in The White Lotus season 2, and who knows who that'll be when White Lotus season 3 comes to us very shortly. But there he played the kind of hunk chav, shall I say, and here he seems to me a little bit miscast as a hunk mathematician. So he's a student based in Cambridge, he's a postgraduate student, and if they tell you a prime number of times, he's the greatest mind in maths we've ever seen in 30 years. That's what we hear over and over again. And he's working on this thesis about prime numbers and their role, and into that comes security forces and spies and various assassins out to get him, because, as they make it clear, once you unlock the prime numbers, you can unlock any computer in the world. Now, all of that sounds like it's going to be a bit of, like, you know, action thriller nonsense. And that is absolutely what I was waiting for. But within the first few episodes, it was very light on the action thriller nonsense, which is really what you want. Instead, it was a lot of Leo Woodall going around looking a bit sad for himself around Cambridge, falling for a barman and then falling afoul of his professor and so on and so forth. When the action finally came right at the end of the second episode, my patience had almost been worn out, and I was thinking Prime, more Amazon Prime than Prime here, and what was on over there instead. But all in, like, look, it's very handsomely made, like all of the Apple shows. There's a huge budget there. There's Stephen Ray, if you want to see him as a kind of mustache-twirling academic who's got leather patches on his shoulder, on, you know, on his elbows. But other than that, it didn't exactly hook me in the way you want a drama to hook. And that remains Apple's problem, because they're so set on producing only their own content, and they have nothing else really on their library to fill the time when you're waiting between Severance episodes. You're kind of left wondering, well, is my subscription really worth it if this is all they're kind of providing to me? And for me, it isn't. But that's not to say it won't grow legs. But if you're looking for like a kind of thriller, I mean, the Night Agent has returned to Netflix, which was a great kind of middle of the road thriller last time around, and I believe is hitting that same kind of streak again. And this is just kind of grand. I wouldn't be rushing to you know, watch it.
Yeah. So those three shows are High Potential, Where a Genius Solves Mysteries, Video Nasty, Where 1980s Teens Solve a Mystery, and Prime Target, Where a Mathematician Solves a Mystery. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thanks a million. Bye-bye.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.